When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And we are live in Nashville. It is day one of the SEC Men's Basketball Tournament. Everybody excited. It's been an extraordinary year in the SEC, and we are barely into March Madness with the tournament and, of course, the NCAA tournament next week. We are here all day, all week for that matter. But today, very special as we look ahead to the opening round and obviously the games tomorrow and throughout the weekend. And we begin the last time we saw Coach Barnes. We were in, I think we talked to you since then, but we were in Knoxville. And I don't know if I would be able to keep up with all the things that have happened to you and your program since we last saw you. It's been quite a journey. How are you, Coach?
I'm good, Paul. You know, it's been an interesting year. You know, we obviously got off to a great start by winning in the Bahamas and carried that momentum. And then we've been hit with some injuries like many teams around the country. But really proud of our guys. They've stayed resilient. We've tried to work through a lot of different things. But we're here. It's March. And we still are a confident team and think that we can make a push.
Yeah, I mean, you've had, I remember it was about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I think we were talking to Seth Greenberg when everyone, I think, was seemingly healthy on your team, and he said, we're talking about an absolute legit Final Four team. And then I think since he said that, things have been up and down, injuries, you lost one of your top players the other day for the season. You've had huge wins and really disappointing losses. I don't know how to encapsulate it all.
You know, you put it in a nutshell right there. You hit it. And you know what? We had two really tough back-to-back buzzer beaters against Vanderbilt and Missouri. But both of them played really well. And we had chances to obviously win those games. And but they made the shots that won the game. And as you said, we've come back and we responded. And then we were hit with some injuries that I think every team deals with, so we can't make that as an excuse because we've always believed that we've got enough guys to work through that. But once we really did get everybody back, and then Zakai got hurt, which is a tough one, but yet, you know, we had a really nice win against Arkansas, went to Auburn and didn't play as well as we know that we needed to there defensively. But I do think we've got a team that regardless of what anyone else thinks, we feel we've got a chance to play, and anybody we play that we think if we can do what we're capable of doing, we've got a chance to win.
Coach, not to harp on that those back-to-back buzzer beaters, but I don't think you could come up with a number in Vegas what was that like to live through?
Well, you know, you look at them two different ways. You know, one, I don't want to take anything away from Vanderbilt and Missouri because they both played great basketball, but, you know, we missed some opportunities to put the game away, and then they made the shot. You got to give, you know, and one of them, Vanderbilt, certainly, you know, it was a defensive breakdown on our point of view because we knew we had to guard the three-point line. We were prepared to go into overtime if necessary, but that was a defensive breakdown. The other one, Missouri had a shot falling down from, you know, what, 40
feet. Do you feel better with at least you've had leads, you should have won versus just terrible performances, or when you walk off after that, you just your mind just has to be numb?
I tell you the truth, you're numb about any time. You know, because you're wanting to win every game you go out, and obviously, but the one, I really felt for our guys because we were down in the Missouri game and came back, got the lead, and again, missed a free throw, but yet the shot they threw up, we couldn't defend it. There's nothing we could do, but that was a tough one. But again, I give great credit to our guys that they've continued to fight back and been resilient. We haven't had bad practices or any of that. They've been mature about that. The league is really good, Paul. People look at our league. I think we've got the best defensive league in the country. Someone told me today that, like, the last three games I think Alabama's played, who everyone knows how good they are, they've shot less than 30% from the three-point line, which tells you one of the coaches in the league and the defense that's being played. And so we're in a really good basketball league.
We're talking to Coach Barnes at the beginning of our program here on Wednesday. Coach, you've had such success. You've been to the Final Four. You know what tournaments like this mean in terms of preparing you. Is it more of a simulation for your players? What other than trying to win, of course, which you've done, but what does this week do for your program?
You know, I do. You know, everybody through the year say, well, sometimes you, I remember the year we went to the Final Four. We had gotten beat in Dallas by Coach Knight's team, and he shook my hand. He said, this is good for you. He said, now go win a national championship. But at that time, I didn't think it was good. And maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But I've never been in a tournament where guys didn't want to win. And what you do learn from these tournaments is exactly that. If you don't win, you go home. And so from that point of view, it does prepare you for what's coming next week, because you win or you go home. And but I do know that players want to play basketball this time of year. They'd much rather stay here and play games and go back to Knoxville and practice.
You've had such a storied career, and so much emphasis is put, I think, sometimes on maybe the second game in a tournament, because that's a quick turnaround. It's harder to get ready. But have you learned anything about your own coaching throughout this career because of either the success or the miscues that you've suffered during this time?
Yeah, I've learned a lot. I think when I was younger, as a young coach, I tried to control way too much, overprepared, maybe got our guys stuck, you know, both mentally and physically. And then as I've gotten older, I've realized, one, the importance of being fresh mentally and physically, and knowing that its matchups are very, very important. But the thing that you want to give your team the very best chance to win. When I was younger at Texas, I tell this story often. I had a great athletic director, DeLoss Dodds, and a great friend in Eddie Reese, the swim coach, and who had won more national championships than you can count. We'd lost a tough game, and they came in and they both talked to me about, you know, overworking. And no one had ever at that point in time said that to me, but Eddie told me, he said, you know, you weren't a very good player, so you had to work. And he said, so you expect that from your players. But he made a comment to me. He said, I've never seen a coach take a mule and make him a racehorse, but I have seen coaches take racehorses and make them a mule.
That is great.
And so I've never forgotten that, you know. And so early, you had to answer your question, I think early in the year I hurt my guys by thinking we're going to work, we're going to be prepared. I know we work, but yet understanding through time that, you know, you've got to give them the best chance to come out here. And then when I was at Alabama one year with Wimp Sanderson, I asked him what he learned from being with Coach Bryant. He said Coach Bryant told him, he said, you better understand recruiting, you better understand scheduling, and you better understand that the coach told him, I haven't lost many games, but the ones I lost on the practice field. And so you don't want to lose it out there. If you're going to lose it, you want to lose it when the lights are on.
As you get to this point, Coach, we always in my media use all kinds of cliches, pushing down, letting up. Do you try to accept this is March, the pressure is intense, do something a little different, or can you really alter very much?
I think you got to have a real feel with your team. I think you and I think it's a trust factor. I think you got to trust your team. I think we all know our players right now. We know that I do know they feel the pressure. I do know that, but we talk about them feeling the excitement, but also understanding that with the games getting longer because of the longer TV timeouts, you know, you've got to stay focused. You've got to be able to understand that the details are so important, because more than likely you're going to be in a 1-2 possession game. And but also know this, through my time in the sport, players are going to have to make plays. They're going to have to, because coaches are going to work hard to take away everything you got, and you've got to be able to sometimes as a coach give it to the guys and say, you guys are going to have to go do this.
Always such a pleasure to see you, Coach.
Thank you. Good to see you, Paul.
Rick Barnes joining us here at the beginning of our stay in Nashville. We'll take a short break. Back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Here at Bridgestone Arena, downtown Nashville, as the SEC men's basketball tournament starts in under 4 hours. You already heard. It was not here last year. You may remember that. We were in Tampa, where the sun was shining. And then, of course, it was here previous to that. So this is what it looks like. You have South Carolina and Ole Miss tonight, Georgia, LSU, and the winners move on. Tomorrow, the early game is, is Florida, is that Florida, Mississippi State? Yeah. Then Tennessee gets the winner of South Carolina, Ole Miss. And meanwhile, Brian Kelly wants a lot from Jaden Daniels. He's expecting a lot. And we headline there, how he's going to deal with it. Of course, we had Rabelais on yesterday. He said there's going to be a competition. We're just not sure how much of one there is. Sam Pittman wants to improve the secondary. Got a dog to do it in Jaheim Singletary. He needs a big year. Will Rogers saying, I can play in any system. We hear you, Will. So what are we going to be doing the rest of the day? We've already had Rick Barnes, the Tennessee coach, former Tennessee coach. Bruce Pearl will be with us in just a few minutes. Damian Fishback. Eric Musselman, haven't talked to him in a while. Stackhouse will be here. His team is red hot. Todd Golden, ending his first year as Florida's head coach. Chris Jans from Mississippi State. And then our first chance to talk to Ron Slay. We may need a little more time. We only have 30 minutes allocated for the first question. How about your phone calls here at 855-242-7285? We start with John in Louisville. Hey, John.
Hey, Paul, good afternoon. You're just up the road about a couple hours. I should grab Kenny Payne and come down and visit. He's got nothing to do now.
Yeah, by the way, I am close to Louisville. I've already been offered that job because anyone can win 4 games. That's still hard for me to believe.
It is shocking. He's a nice guy. I wish him well. But it takes a little heat off Calipari, at least. I was going to talk to you about the a list that came out on 24/7 Sports by Brad Crawford on the top 35 football coaches for 2023. But first, I see what you're doing with that methodology on the predicted caller bracketology. Apparently, you're putting in names there for proof of life or somewhat as a welfare check. You pulled Jerome out of federal witness protection last night, I noticed.
Yeah, I thought that was one of the more fascinating calls of the year. Jerome, who essentially quit the show because he wasn't getting NIL money. right now, listen, the committee will start meeting here in Nashville. These are the projected one seeds: Legend, Jim, Larry, and I-Man, Dustin, Elliot, Todd, and Chris. Some of those are barely known to even the host of the show, are the last four in. the bubble watch, we had Louisiana Dan, who may have moved off the bubble yesterday after his call. Charles, AJ, who with every call gets closer to never being back on the show again. And the artist formerly known as Jeff from Columbus. AC from Canada, was eliminated from it's a Department of State issue. They simply will not allow him into the country.
He's a terrorist, thank God. And careful what you wish if Jeff calls in, by the way. So here's the list that Brad Crawford put out. I'm just going to go through it quickly and see if you have any thoughts. Obviously, as expected, Kirby Smith first, Nick Saban second. Those make sense. Or, excuse me, Kirby Smart. Third is your favorite, Jim Harbaugh. He's done quite well, obviously, with less talent. Then this one just stood out. Dabo Sweeney is number four. I don't see that. Brian Kelly, he's hot. He's number five. Ryan Day, he does well except against Michigan, number six. Lincoln Riley, seven, makes sense. Kyle Willingham, I think he's great. He's eight. Luke Fickell, number nine. I don't see that either. Then you got Josh Heupel, makes sense. James Franklin at 11, but, you know, he wins. He's in the top 10, I guess. Sonny Dykes makes sense. Lane Kiffin, yes. Here's the one that
I have the list here. I'm looking at it. Yeah, Jimbo at 14 is fascinating.
I know.
Last year, Jimbo was really in everybody's top five list. Now, again, this is one person's opinion. And I'm not surprised, but I will say this, John, even though and I'm looking at it for the first time, so the idea that somebody other than Nick Saban is number one, and I realize I've said a lot about that subject on different programs, it's still taking me some getting used to seeing that.
I know. Well, it just says more about Kirby. And by the way, Billy Napier, number 30, that's not good.
Pretty high, really.
Or yeah,
you know. When you, or you know, and I don't mean that, but I mean Billy Napier. How else can you slice it? Had an underwhelming first year. I mean, it was a really bad year.
And I think Mark Cristobal will improve from number 20. But guess who's missing off this list? The $10 million man up at East Lansing. He's not in the top 35.
No, he had a worse year than
Jimbo
Fisher.
Ones
we mentioned. Yeah, again, I've already started my Jimbo Fisher for next year. I think he's going to bounce back significantly. Hey, thank you for the call. Do appreciate it. Dustin is in Tulsa.
Hey, good morning from Tulsa, Paul. How are you, bud?
Dustin.
Yes, sir. How are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Hey, man, yesterday, I really appreciated the full-on audible yawn right in the middle of AJ's call. I don't know if that just came out naturally or if
Yeah, you know, one thing you do as a – I mean, you're always aware of the situation when you do what we all do here. In that case, I really wanted people to hear the yawn.
It had me rolling, man. I've actually been under the weather for the last couple of days, so I haven't called. And in that, I've been listening a lot. And I think I found that might be the secret to being a better caller, is not necessarily being here every day, but kind of listening and making room for other people. So I think maybe I won't call in every day, but I'll leave room for others and join in occasionally, because this place is still fun. I do have a quick memorabilia story for you, since that's what we were talking about yesterday, if you've got time to humor me for it.
Go ahead. Yeah, we're go ahead.
So the year was 99. I was a freshman in college, walked on to a D2 football program, and this is the year after the Sterner stumble, you know, when we went to Tennessee and lost after Clint Sterner tripped over Burlsworth and fumbled the ball. So anyway, we beat Tennessee 28-24, and Fayetteville turns into a madhouse. And the next weekend, my roommate, a guy who was a freshman quarterback for the same team as me, he looked at me and said, "Hey, Little Rock?" And I said, "Hell yeah," because that's back when we used to play games in Little Rock. So we go play Mississippi State, beat them, and for some reason, like, there was this impetus to rush the field again. We'd just rushed it the weekend before, and so – anyway, we rushed the field down at War Memorial, and I think the statute of limitations is up on this, so I can tell it. But I ended up getting out of there with one of the pylons that goes around the end zone, one of the goal line pylons. I picked it up and started waving it around, and nobody told me to put it down. So being a young, mischievous scamp, I stuck it underneath my hoodie and ended up getting out with it. And to this day, I still have a pylon from War Memorial Stadium after the Mississippi
State. Oh, that is
State
great. Well, Dustin, thank you very much. I appreciate that story. By the way, I just happened to see a story by David Eckhart in the Clarion Ledger where he is reporting what many have been speculating, that Chris Beard is the top candidate to replace Kermit Davis at Ole Miss. The school is doing due diligence. Remember, it was Beard who was fired from the University of Texas. They were the number one team in the country after an episode with his fiance a couple of months ago. We'll keep you posted on that. We are live in Nashville. We also keep taking your phone calls with guests coming in at 855-242-7285. We'll talk to Rick Barnes to start off. We'll talk to Bruce Pearl coming up shortly.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Out on Broadway, which is just around the corner from where we are here inside Bridgestone Arena. Day one of the SEC Men's Basketball Tournament. It's always a treat to see Bruce Pearl when we get here, and the Auburn coach has joined us. Coach, great to see you. Seems like just yesterday that you were heading to, from ESPN to Auburn. It was, what, 9 years ago?
How about that? Can you believe that I've been at Auburn for 8 years now? Yeah, it does seem like yesterday we were in a studio together, working together, but I like it better on this side than I do on this side.
You're doing well on this side. I will not try to characterize your season. I'll leave it to you, but it's been you can get vertigo trying to keep up with what is going on.
A lot, Paul, has to do with expectations. If you're expecting Auburn to be the best team in the country like we were last year for a month, we weren't. Lost two pros. Those kids, Walker Kessler and Jabari Smith, are doing great in the league right now. I thought this team was 5-7 somewhere. That's where I thought, and that's where we kind of wind up finishing. The win against Tennessee to close the season out, to have two top 12 victories, to be a 32 right now in the net. And on 22 occasions, Paul, this team was favored by the net, and we won 19 of those games. So we've done basically what I think this team is capable of doing. I'm proud of them. And now let's see if we can continue to shoot the ball and get hot here in March.
I know you never want to, you know, let the foot off, but most experts, not that that matters, felt like Saturday was enough to give you a little breathing room. How do you deal with that? Because you want to come in here with an edge.
Yeah. Look, we'd like to try to win the tournament. That's what we want to try to do. But I don't think I thought we had to win Saturday against that team to be able to get another, to ensure ourselves of being in the tournament and getting a decent seed, actually. Now it's Arkansas. You know, here's a reward. You do what you do, and we get a chance to play the 18th best team in the country in Arkansas. They're seeded 10th in the SEC, but they're the 18th best team in the country, according to the net. That was the reward. But the good news is the game doesn't really hurt either Arkansas or Auburn because we're both really good.
And, I mean, your success is obvious. So this question may seem unusual, but when you get to this point, is anything changed for you, or do you just try to keep progressing?
Paul, you know this. You're successful. It's easier, I think, to get it going than it is to keep it going at a really, really high level. And so, you know, for me, what's the high level? The benchmark is going to the tournament. The benchmark is taking your team and having them do the best you think they're capable of doing or getting close to it. And every team, you know, every team is different. I think our league is really competitive this year. Really good at the top, but even the teams that are at the bottom, the teams that play tonight, those guys are playing all season long. What I worry about is because of how physical and defensive this league is, are we all going to leave here tired heading into the NCAA tournament? Because we've beaten the snot out of each other all year long.
And as you, I don't know if you go back and say, okay, this year we did this in the tournament and did that in the NCAA. I mean, obviously you got a pretty good record a couple of years ago to look at when you went to the Final Four and nearly won the whole thing. Is there any way does data support one way or the other?
I don't think the data does, but I think a couple of things have to happen as you plan right now. Obviously, defense and rebounding carry the day. You got to take good care of the ball and not turn the ball over. And can you start to shoot it better right now? Teams that are able to do those four things, I think, are the teams that are going to wind up advancing in March.
For the lay people out there watching, I mean, you always hear people talk about the tournament. It looks different. It feels different. What is different once you get to this point?
I think what's different about it is all the fan bases are here. Everybody's all here celebrating the year that was. I think there are 8 or 9 teams potentially this year that could win this tournament. I mean, it's because it's been obviously that competitive. And to the victor go the spoils. Winning games in January are big. But when we beat Tennessee on Saturday, it was a March win. It felt different. It carried more weight. And now for these kids, Paul, you know, their own individual successes, not just about draft positions, now their NIL starts to be affected by their success. And we've had honest conversations. You play well at this time of the year, your NIL could improve here at Auburn, or let's say you decide to go pro, let's say you want to be transferred. It's the kids are benefiting more now than just the coaches in the schools.
Hey, listen, sitting here listening to you talk, I mean, I realize none of us should be surprised by anything anymore, but it is refreshing, though, to hear a coach embrace that versus hands up going, oh, we need to do this or that.
Yes, to a certain extent. But I want the kids to know what's at stake, because that one shining moment stuff is real. It's what dreams are made of. And, like, for me as a coach, I've talked about 4 games this week. Like, I've talked about Arkansas, Texas A&M, Kentucky or Vanderbilt. That's probably our draw. I realize we're going to have a hard time beating Arkansas. But I've got to plant the seed in my player. This is the road to the Final Four. This is the road to the SEC Tournament Championship.
Well, we talked at the beginning, you know, the journey you've been on since getting here 8 years ago, whatever, 9 years ago, whatever it was. So much is made out of the Final Four, the sellouts. I mean, I know that you're a guy that loves life, but you do have to admit this has been an incredible journey.
Well, I'm a big fan of history, and I'm a big fan of making history. And so we've had 5 20-win seasons in the last 6 years. That only happened once in the history of Auburn basketball, and that happened to Joel Eaves and Captain Rex Frederick and Jimmy Bibby and those Gruber. And so I honored those guys a little bit this week by saying, look, what we've done over the last 6 years, only been one other time in Auburn basketball history. So can we add to that history here this weekend? That's why we're here.
Every time I see you, I bring it up because it's still I know you came close at Tennessee, a shot from going to the Final Four. You did it here. We all know you should have won that game and should have played for it. But that doesn't matter at this point. But within you, what has that meant to carry that Final Four around wherever you go?
You know what, Paul? Here's what I said at the time. So for the fans that don't know what Paul and I are talking about, we had a really series of a couple of tough calls at the end that if they go the other way, and they probably should have, we're playing for the national championship. I honestly think, Paul, you know I'm a man of faith. I think God put us in that game in that moment to handle it the right way. I really do. We had so much blessing that year beating Kansas, North Carolina, Kentucky, the only team in the history of the tournament to beat those three teams in a row, so that in that moment, we would have a very difficult defeat. We gave God the glory through the victory. What are we going to do? Not act the right way in defeat. And I honestly feel like it took Auburn and us trying to be Auburn men to be put in that moment, to handle it the right way, for all those kids to learn, this is how you handle defeat. Move on. Because doing anything differently takes away from Virginia and their national championship.
Coach, maybe it's because I grew up in the Orthodox part of my religion, and try to be as faithful as any, but I'm struggling with your argument. I know what you, but it was those were such bad calls.
They were. But I think even in your own faith, which I'm glad you wear on your sleeve, you know, you have an opportunity, you know, as an Orthodox Jewish man, to live the life a certain way and be a bit of a lot of pressure on us. And there's not that many of us.
No.
So we got to be able to handle it the right way.
I mean, I said I grew
where do you
up.
Go with that? Where
I said
you,
I grew, I grew now, up there. Right? I don't know if I said. Primarily because we were around the corner from the synagogue. I don't think it was convenient.
Some of it rubbed off.
It's such a great pleasure to see you.
So good to see you. Nashville's going to be absolutely on fire. If you don't have your tickets, come on up to Nashville. There's a few hotel rooms still available, and this is going to be an incredible weekend.
Great to see you. Bruce Pearl joining us here as we are live in Nashville.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Live in Nashville as the SEC tournament. Still a couple hours away, but fans are enjoying Broadway and everything connected to it. We will get back to your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And Will is in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon. An occasional call from Dustin is still far too many times. But, Paul, two or three nights ago, I was watching Elvis's 68 comeback special. And I would like to flatter you for a minute. There are a lot of similarities I see between you and Elvis. I mean, if you had hair, I would think you were his brother. But my question, Paul, is, this is just a historical question. My family's big Elvis fans. It's kind of like football. It's just one of those things. If your family's an Elvis fan, it just gets passed down. But my mom's a big JFK fan. And since you're such a dinosaur, I'm going to ask you this question. Which death at the time rock the nation more, JFK's assassination or Elvis Presley's death? Which one tore the nation worse?
Elvis died, so I feel like I'm somewhat of a, I can connect with both. I don't think there's ever been anything quite like JFK for this reason. I mean, here you have a young president in his 40s shot dead in a motorcade in Dallas, Texas. It was a moment that while both events affected the world, one was significantly more impactful because of the fact that JFK was the president of the United States, and Elvis, even at 42, was clearly in serious decline as an entertainer.
Real quick, Friday, I'm headed to the ACC tournament myself, and going to grab all the memorabilia I can, because the way everybody talks, it'll be a collector's item in a few years. You grab me a sweatshirt, I'll grab you a sweatshirt, and we'll trade off next week, all right?
Yeah, you got it. Last one in Greensboro, presumably. Hey, thank you for the call. AC is up next.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I am so happy that I'm officially eliminated from the contest, because I was never part of it. And second, I have a question for you. My question is, what's more likely to happen? Miami Hurricanes wins the ACC championship, or Alabama Crimson Tide wins the SEC championship? And AJ, always a jerk, holler.
Kathy is up next in Georgia. Kathy.
Hi, Paul. I just want to see if I could get, I wanted to see if I could get Legend's address, or either I'll get your address, because I watched the show last night. I had a tape, and I heard his comments about Bennett and everything, and I saw while he was talking, he had something on his lip. And I need to send him some puffs for all the bullshit that he had on his lip.
Hmm. The dearly departed Kathy there, going beyond where callers are allowed to go. Ron is up next in Texas. So, hey, Ron.
Hey, Paul. How you doing? Thanks for taking my
call.
We're
doing great. Thank you. Thank you.
Last time I talked to you, Kevin Sumlin was the coach at A&M.
That's a few coaches ago.
Yeah. Well, one more anyway.
Yeah, one. So, it seemed like more, but I hear you.
Paul, I started watching when they were on the losing streak, and I got to tell you, I've taken a sip of the Kool-Aid. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's been pretty cool to watch. He is a phenomenal coach.
He is a phenomenal coach. I'm wondering, everybody's going to hate me for saying this, has he got as much out of them as he can, or can they continue?
Well, I think that's what Marge is about. And I don't think there's a single sport where a singular month means more in defining who you are than college basketball. Yeah, if you're a college coach, it does matter to win a bowl game. It helps you march into the off season. But careers are made in March in basketball, and it really does not. It matters, but not very much. As long as you've had a good enough season to get into the tournament, everything that happens now is paramount. So I think he's capable of a good run here, especially, and then next week and the week after. But I appreciate the call very, very much. You be well. Take care of yourself. Matt is up next in San Antonio.
Hey, brother, how you doing, Mr. Paul Feinbaum? That guy called me yesterday. He's an annoying loser caller. Look, I know I'm not on this call, but all that matters to me and your friendship is you always give me a brother to me, man. And I want to talk to you about this basketball team this year. I am so impressed, Paul, with the way he's turned around the program. And I want your thoughts on that. It seemed like it was going downhill, and he brought it back and resurrected it to where it's an elite basketball program.
you did make a run in this tournament, SEC and NCAA tournament. What's your thoughts on that, brother? And I want you to say this to Georgia Red Bay. I know last time I talked to you, I said something that was out of line, and I'm sorry for that, man. But I've been where you've been. I've been through depression. I've been on Dr. Hercole. Me, you might like the same teams, but that's just me defending my team. Now, I want you to know I've been there, man. And I want to know what you think about this tournament this year, saying A&M, Paul.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Thank you very, very much. Tom is up next in Pennsylvania. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Paul. That was a good conversation between you and Coach Pearl. It's really, really cool.
Thank you.
But I wanted to ask you a little something about Gator football. I know we're out of season, but, man, I am worried. I think we sort of didn't end the season so great. What should we look for in terms of coming out of the spring here? I'm really hoping this coach is, you know, is going to be the right guy.
Yeah, I think there are a million questions. And, you know, we had Pat Dooley on yesterday, Tom, and I don't think you can say anything else other than what is being said by the people that cover it and the people inside. But I don't know a coach in the SEC that really needs to set the table better than Billy Napier, not only in the offseason but next year. That may sound harsh, but I mean, he had high expectations and he under-delivered, and the offseason was even worse than the season.
Yeah, well, I sure hope we get it together, but we'll see what happens, and I'm hoping that our basketball team can do well. Our young coach there also is, I think,
yeah,
showing
Tom,
some
we're
good
talking
promise,
so to Coach Golden a little bit later on, and everyone loves this guy. He's a very impressive coach. Thank you for the call. We're here in Nashville. Busy first hour. Rick Barnes and, of course, Bruce Pearl. Many more guests straight ahead.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.